Well, good morning, everybody. It's great to be here. To all of you young people, I'm just going to mention this here. I've got my DVDs, so if anyone wants to take one at the end, please feel free. Please come down. Please take a look. And I have my family photo album there.
Something really important I forgot to
say. Okay.
This isn't unassociated with you. Okay. There was a coffee morning for Children's Vision yesterday morning. They had surplus cake. The good news, or the bad news for you, is that the surplus cake is here this morning and will be available. All the coffee's being served over this side this morning because the display for Children's Vision is over here. But there will be cake for a price. So if you have children, can you please watch them? And if they're taking cake, just make sure you pay for it. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. And I just want to draw your attention to this. We have two of our friends from Northern Ireland who are going to be walking up Kilimanjaro, which is a mountain in Africa. And just so that you know, I was amazed to find out it's 19,341 feet is the highest point in Africa. I thought, wow. That's incredible. That's very high. And they're going to be walking up that to help raise support for our new building, which I'm going to be telling you all about in a minute. So all of the information for that is over here on my display. Okay. I really just want to get into God's Word this morning. Before I do that, I want to tell you a quick little story. You know, we've seen many times God's provision at our home. And back in June was no exception. I have my birthday in June. And I love to have lemon-flavored cake. And I was praying one day for the food, to give thanks for the food. And I got to the end of the prayer and I decided to tag on to the end. And Lord, please send lemons for my birthday cake. Amen. And that was a way of dropping a hint to my wife that I wanted a lemon-flavored birthday cake. But also, you should know that in Colombia, you can't get yellow lemons. It's very difficult. You can only get like little green limes, and they really don't do too good in a birthday cake. It's better the yellow lemons. Well, a couple of days later, Janine called me on my mobile phone. I was in the other house. She said, "You need to come round the corner and look at what I'm looking at right now." I said, "Okay." And I went round to the Genesis house and I got there and there was a huge truck in front of the house and it was full of yellow lemons. Isn't that incredible? And I'm going to tell you, the Lord loves me. I'll tell you, he really spoiled me. And Janine looked and she said, "Well, I'm going to have to make your birthday cakes now, aren't I?" You know? And we asked the gentleman how he got there. These lemons had been grown in Ecuador, which is next door to Colombia. They'd been loaded onto a truck. They'd driven 30 hours or more to Bogota because the farmer had been told he'd get a better price for his lemons in Colombia. And so he drove all the way to Bogota. And of course, when he got there, no one would buy his lemons because nobody knew about yellow lemons in Colombia. And so he just happened to talk to, out of all of these hundreds of stalls, well, I don't think it was coincidence. I'm sure it wasn't. He happened to go to the stall that we buy our fresh fruit and vegetables from. And the gentleman said, "Well, I won't buy them." And he said, "Well, I can't take them all the way back to Ecuador. They'll spoil." And the man who knows us said, "Well, I know a place that I'm sure will receive them." And so he came to our house, and that was how the Lord sent me lemons for my birthday cake. And then we spent about 3 days rolling all those lemons and getting all the juice out of them. And the kids helped us in different shifts. They came and helped us, you know. And we got to the end of those 3 days. And Janine looked at me and she said, "Don't ever pray for lemons again." But I just wanted to tell you that because I thought it was an incredible example of God answering prayer and God's provision. And when the Lord did that, I just knew that the Lord was just saying, "I love you, and here's your lemons." Isn't that incredible? So today, I want to speak about the heart of mission. And I'm very passionate about what I do. I love it with all of my heart. And if you want to start looking in your Bibles, we're going to look at 1 Corinthians. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. But I want to tell you that Missions is amazing. You know, it makes us step out in faith, and it makes us get out of our normal lives and go and do things that maybe we wouldn't, and we have to depend completely on God. And missions causes us to believe in every little bit of what God offers us as his children. We have to depend on him and on his provision and his protection sometimes, and lots of different things. And I think people have a misconception sometimes about mission, that mission is a place that you go to a faraway land to do. And I want to tell you that's not true. And I think sometimes people have a concept about mission that it's only about telling people about Jesus. No, that's evangelism. But what I want to tell you now is mission for me is all about expressing God's love and serving God and helping people in a very practical way. And I'm going to pray that as you leave here this morning, that God is going to give you mission opportunities. And they might be on the corner, they might be in the supermarket, they might be in your schools for the younger people, they might be in your workplaces. And those mission opportunities can be 2 minutes, can be 10 minutes, could be an hour or hours or days or weeks or months, or could be a lifetime. But when we say yes to those opportunities, then God is going to use that to change people's lives in incredible ways. Now, the verses that I want to share with you about missions today are probably quite unconventional. But as I started to flick through my Bible thinking about this teaching, and God began to make my heart jump. And I want to say that when I start to write teachings, I have moments that I can only express that I feel an excitement comes into my heart when I get to the verse that God wants me to share. And very often, I look at it and I think, surely not. That has nothing to do with that. And I looked at these verses and I said, missions, Lord? Surely not. And I continued on and I felt like God said, go back, go back, go back. And I went back to look at these verses and God began to reveal to me how he wanted me to speak about missions through these verses. So let's take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. So in the first six verses, it's just kind of I'm just going to summarize them, okay? Now we need to know that this is written by Paul, who is a man who was probably the greatest missionary there ever was, apart from Jesus, because Jesus was also a missionary. So Paul was a persecutor of the Christians, was transformed by God for God's purposes, and God used him in incredible ways and did many powerful things through Paul. So we need to bear that in mind. And it says at the end of those first six verses, it says basically that Paul came to the Corinthians, not in his own power, but in God's strength. And many times in my teachings I share about, I very much believe that God calls us to things that we're not strong in, because in our weakness, God makes us strong. And that's how he shows his power working through us. And when we're involved in missions, we often have to believe in God's power in many different areas. So that's the first thing that I want to share with you today. Now let's take a look at verse 6 onwards. Now when I thought about missions, I thought about the heart of God. Because where do missions come from? Mission comes from the heart of God. We had a lady who came to our foundation a few months back now, and she was the lady who took us to that place that I showed you on the DVD. And she said, you probably don't remember me, but you helped me when I was a little girl. I was, I know, maybe 9 or 10 years old or something. And she said, when we saw your truck coming up the mountain, that was in a place called New Hope. She said, when we saw your truck coming up the mountain, it brought us great joy, because we knew you were bringing a blessing from God for us in terms of clothes and baby packs and all types of things to help in a very practical way. And that's why I say missions for me is very much about extending God's love in very practical ways. And that opens the door to tell people all about Jesus. And she said, you know, we trusted you. And I'm here today because of what you did then, because we know that you didn't have any other motive other than to just bring God's blessing to our place. And she said, you know what, because of that, I'm here today. And here was this grown lady in front of me. And she said, I have children. And she said, I never was able to escape that way of living. And I'm asking you today, will you help my children? And so we said, okay. And she took us to a neighborhood, which was that neighborhood that you saw, which we've never been to before. We thought we knew all the poor places in the south of the city of Bogota. And I'm telling you, we don't. And God took us to that place and he showed us a brand new mission opportunity. And not only did we help her children, but also other families started to come out and ask us, why were we there and what were we doing? And God showed us a whole new community that we can begin to help and open that door into that community. And that's why I say to you today that I know that God in a moment can present you a mission opportunity. And he can do that outside this door or in your workplace or in the supermarket or wherever it might be. And I pray God will make your heart jump when he gives you that opportunity. Now, in verse 6, it tells us about the wisdom of the Spirit. And we're called to apply a different wisdom than the world applies to different situations. And I thought, what's the world's wisdom? The world's wisdom is all about self-gain. And I said, and what's God's wisdom? And I want to say God's wisdom in missions is all about sacrifice. But actually then I thought, no, it's not. You know what? When we give to the Lord, I'm going to tell you the Lord is going to bless you in abundance. And I thought, this is all about self-gain. What could possibly be better than receiving the Lord's blessing? Nothing could be better in our life. Nobody could give us anything greater than what God can give us. And I thought, isn't that incredible? We get to see God act in those different situations. What a blessing that is. That brings me great joy. So then that was the wisdom of the Spirit. Now, as we go on a little bit further, and I want to talk about verse 11. Verse 11 tells us we can know the thoughts of God. Can you imagine? You and I can know the thoughts of God. And I thought, you know, thinking about missions, if mission comes from your heart, then God, I need to know your thoughts so that you can communicate to me through your Holy Spirit the mission opportunities that you give me every day. Like when we went to that neighborhood and God communicated through his Holy Spirit and our hearts jumped and we said, this is a place that God wants us to help. So when we do missions, we need the Holy Spirit because we need to know the heart of God. We need the wisdom of God and we need to know the heart of God. And then I read a little bit further on. And, you know, it says in verse 12, we can understand what God has freely given to us. Now, I know that that is all about salvation and about Jesus and that incredible gift. But God led me to think that he also gives us many other things freely. I remember the day that we were praying for toilet paper and a lady came to our door and knocked on our door. It was one of the moms. She said, I found something that I think you might like. And she pulled out a bumper pack of toilet paper. And the Lord freely gave us toilet paper. God makes incredible provisions. And he gives us things freely, lots of things. Not just our salvation, which is the greatest gift. But when we serve God in missions, we're going to see his provision because God isn't going to fail. And then I went a bit further on and I got to verse 14 and it says that the man without the Spirit can understand the things of God because they are foolishness to him. Now, the man without the Spirit can't understand the things of God. The man without the Spirit probably would have no idea why I prayed for lemons for my birthday. But to God, that wasn't foolishness. You know, and maybe even I laughed some about it. And the Lord said, you know what? I'm going to answer your prayer. Have your lemons. And then spend 3 days getting all the juice out of them. You know, when we went to that neighborhood, it might have seemed foolishness to start helping all these children. All those years ago when Janine said yes to the call of God, I think if we'd have known everything God was going to do, we might have run a mile. But you know, to God it wasn't foolishness. So when you go out of here and you meet somebody on the corner and God gives you a mission opportunity, I'm going to tell you that it's not foolishness. Take that opportunity and help someone, or give them a verse of encouragement, or give them a hug, or pray for them, or help them in something physically. Maybe they need help carrying a bag or something. They are mission opportunities. And when you take them, God will open up a door into people's hearts. And when they begin to ask you, you can say, I'm here because I'm here. I want to show God's love to you in a very practical way. And God is going to change lives when we take those opportunities. So when God gives you something, don't think it's foolishness. God's leading you to take that opportunity. So you know, when we get involved in missions, it leads us to believe in the impossible into possible, the God of provision, the God of protection, but we have to believe. So this morning, I want to talk a little bit about believe, okay? Because I meet people who often say, oh, I believe in God. But I think sometimes they don't realize what they're saying. And so I want to share that a little with you today. Let's think about this word believe. You know, but firstly, just to touch on something, 1 Corinthians 2, 9 to 10. And this has been my experience of missions. Okay, that it says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. And I'm going to tell you, I couldn't have imagined God was going to send lemons for my birthday. I couldn't imagine that God allows us to go to communities in Colombia where no other people can go in, and to take our drama team and our evangelism team and bless people with God's word. I can't imagine, you couldn't imagine the places that God allows us to go to. It's incredible. And other people say, well, we couldn't get in that place. I'm going to say, but I can. Do you know where we're going for our medical mission in June? We're going to the Amazon. Now, it's a place we've always wanted to go to. And God opened up a door for us again with the Navy. And we have an invitation with the Colombian Navy and the Peruvian Marines to go and attend a population. And we're going to take God's word in Bible tracts that came from Northern Ireland to tell people all about Jesus and to love them in a very practical way. We're going to go on an aeroplane, and then we're going to get a helicopter, and we're going to go deep into the Amazon to attend this population. Now, I could have never imagined that God was going to allow us to do that. And here we are today. And in June, I'll be on that helicopter. And we're going to tell people in the Amazon all about Jesus. Now, I want to talk about this, about believe. Okay? I did a little bit of research into this. And if you'd like to look at Matthew 7, verse 21... as I flicked through my Bible thinking about this teaching about the heart of mission, this verse jumped out at me. And again, I thought, surely not, Lord. And God said, yes, this is about mission. So, okay. Matthew 7, verse 21. Not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. Now, I want to clarify something in that. I know that we're not saved by works. We're saved by grace and what Jesus did on the cross and the forgiveness that comes through that. And death was beaten once and for all those who believe in Jesus as their Savior. But this verse also leads us to understand something, that if we love Jesus and if we follow Jesus and if we believe in Jesus, well then, we need to follow the will of God. And out of our belief will come actions. So believe stood out to me when I thought about those verses. And I'm just going to show you what believe means. Okay? So believe, first of all, is a verb. I don't know if you know that. Believe is an action word. So it means when we say we believe in God, that's got to produce actions in us. Because it's a verb. Now I'm going to tell you, give you a couple of other verses that's going to help us understand this. If you want, just note them down. You don't have to look there. You can look later when you're at home. But in Genesis 15, verses 5 to 6, there's an incredible promise to Abram. It says, he took him outside and said, look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. And you can't, by the way. There's too many. If you started from the day you were born and counted till the day that you went to glory, I'm going to tell you that you couldn't. You couldn't count all the stars. And then it said, then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. And when I read that, I thought, poor Abraham, I've got 200 children and that's a lot of work. Now I know God was talking about a whole nation. And then we get to verse 6 and it said, Abram believed the Lord. And God credited it to him as righteousness. So now we know that God confirms that Abram believed. That it was going to bring an action, and that action God was going to fulfill. Now I found where the same word, this is in the Hebrew, the word for believed in the Hebrew, I found another verse in which it's used, which helps us believe or understand what it means. So in Isaiah 22:23, it tells us, I will drive him like a peg into a firm place. He will become a seat of honor for the house of his father. And when it says a firm place, it uses the same word in the Hebrew as is used in that verse in Genesis for believe. So now we know that believe means a firm place. That we're going to stand firm and we're going to believe in God and we're not going to move from that place. When God gives us a mission, we're going to believe in it and we're going to stand firm. Now you see what believe means? So when you understand like that and you say, I believe in God, that brings a whole different aspect to it. Because it means that when God gives you a mission, you're going to act on it. And when you do that, God is going to do incredible things through you. I'm going to tell you about a little girl called Sophia. And Sophia, our heart jumped when we met Sophia. She just came to our house just a few months ago. And she's 12 years old. And she's a little girl who's been through a very difficult, abusive situation. And has seen many things, including people commit suicide and things like that. Very difficult things. And that little girl, when she arrived at our foundation, started telling us, I want to be on the evangelism team. I want to tell people about Jesus. She was only just finding out about Jesus herself. And she said, I want to be on the team. And every day, I want to be on the team. And every day, I want to be on the team. And she was intense about it. And normally, you know, we leave it a few months before we let them begin to be on the evangelism team because they need to learn about Jesus first. But she just told us every day, every day, every day, every day. And we finally said, you know, the Lord is trying to tell us something about this girl. And we said, okay, you can be on the team. And she went on her first evangelism trip back in November. And she's on our dance team, and I'm going to tell you, she danced her heart out for Jesus. In a very public place, in a town square. And she's a little girl who loves God with all of her heart. And I'm going to say that if she's gone through everything she's gone through, and can be there focused on telling people all about Jesus, and taking her mission opportunities, then all of us certainly can. And so I'm going to pray that every time God gives you a mission opportunity, that he makes your heart jump and he gives you passion, and you're going to take that opportunity and open a door into somebody's heart to tell them all about Jesus. Now I want to just finish off the teaching bit today and tell you a story about Paul and Silas. And that's in Acts 16, verses 25 to 28. Acts 16, verses 25 to 28. And Paul and Silas were in prison. Now that happened from time to time with Paul, because his passion was to tell people all about Jesus and take those mission opportunities. It tells us in verse 25, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. The other prisoners were listening to them. God was preparing the way for what was going to happen. And when God gives you a mission opportunity, I want to tell you, God prepared the way. You're not there alone. When you meet that person on the corner that's your mission opportunity, God already prepared the way. He just needs you to now act. God's not going to call you to act if he hasn't prepared the way. He's already prepared the way. And then we get to verse 26 and it says, suddenly there was a violent earthquake, that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. Now what would human thinking be? Run for the door. Do you know when I got married, my mother-in-law stood behind me as my wife-to-be was walking down and she whispered in my ear, Richard, run, run like the wind. I didn't. But you know what? Paul applied God's wisdom. Like we talked about in the first part, he applied the wisdom of the Spirit and he knew the thoughts of God and he didn't run for the door. He took his mission opportunity and told all of the other prisoners and the jailer all about Jesus. And it said, and they all believed. Now, wouldn't that seem foolishness to man? But to Paul, it made perfect sense, because he was following God's heart. And that's why I want to bring it back around and say to you that the heart of mission begins in God's heart. And my prayer for you today is that every mission opportunity that God gives you, he's going to make your heart jump with joy. And you'll know it's a mission opportunity in your work and in your schools and as you're walking down the street and with your neighbors. And I'm going to tell you that he's already prepared the way. And when you take the opportunity through that, God is going to do incredible things and transform lives. So I'd like to show you some of our DVD today and let you see what we've been doing in Colombia. Chapter 1, please. Start at chapter 1. So at Children's Vision, I'm going to tell you we're having our 25th anniversary. And God has been incredible through those 25 years. And for New Hope for Children, we're having our 10th anniversary. So it's a very special year for us. God gave us a vision all those years ago of 5 homes and a school and a medical unit. We now have 4 homes. We're helping almost 200 children right now. And hopefully those children, as they grow up in a very happy place, a place where they learn all about Jesus. And they're there because God gave us a mission opportunity. So we have the Genesis House, the Exodus House, the Leviticus House, and the Numbers House. Now, you know, as our children grew up, we began to realize we needed a school. And so we started our school back in 2001 and then moved into our new school building in 2009. And this is our new school photograph. And as you can see, our family continues to grow. We work very hard in the area of nutrition. We receive many children who have been malnourished. And so our nutritionist works very hard to make sure those children get all the nutrition that they need. So in our homes, we serve about 600 meals a day, but God's also been sending us rice containers, and we're able to bless great parts of the country with donations of rice. Just a few months ago, we sent 20 tons of rice to the area of La Guajira in Colombia, where lots of people are hungry, and God's opening up an opportunity there. We also have an incredible professional staff, which are our social workers, our psychologists, our nutritionists and our nurses, to help care for the children who are in the most need. And this year with our medical mission, we're going to the Amazon jungle. That's the letter of invitation from the Colombian presidency. And back when this all started, we could have never believed where we're at today. But God does incredible things. We've given out over the last 3 months about 300 Bibles and thousands of Bible tracts through our evangelism events. And God allows us to go to some of the places that probably would be on the open doors list for Colombia, to be able to take God's word and teach it through drama and through praise and worship and through dance. This is our Wednesday morning prayer and fasting meeting with all of our children. We have a time of praise and prayer and worship. And this is one of our devotionals with our boys in the Exodus house. And for lack of things to do, we've started a Bible group in our neighborhood, and we have about 30 of our neighbors who are coming every 2 weeks to receive teaching on God's word. God has been incredibly faithful. Now we tell our children they're not just a group of children, they're not just part of a foundation, but we are a family. And today I'm going to tell you the story of four very special children who God brought together in 2000 and who have been friends for a lifetime. That's Laura and Juan Camilo, Christian Camilo and Henry. They all graduated together in 2017. And with those lives, we saw a mission opportunity, and that has transformed the future. Laura, she arrived as a teeny tiny little premature baby who fit in the palm of my hand. And as she grew up, she needed apparatus on her hips to help get her hips straight. The hospital had said that little baby would never survive. Well, I'm going to tell you that God did a miracle in her life. That was her when she first arrived. One of those wonderful baby photos. And here she is today, all grown up, graduated from high school, and her name means victorious. And God has certainly given her a great victory. This is Christian Camilo. And Christian Camilo arrived when his elderly grandfather couldn't manage to care for him anymore. The grandfather was blind. And we noted in Camilo from a very young age that he loves God very, very much. Here he is on our drama evangelism team, taking God's word all over Colombia to many different places. That was him when he arrived, and this is him today. All grown up, graduated from high school, and his name means follower of Christ. This is Juan Camilo, one of our boys with special needs. And Juan Camilo arrived when he was 18 months old. This was his house. He was suffering from malnutrition, severe malnutrition, and E. coli food poisoning. He was literally dying. When he arrived at our home, he had a plastic bag for a nappy, and we were able, as he grew up, to get different surgeries done to allow him to walk properly. So that was him when he arrived. And this is him today. All grown up, he's 19 years old. And his name means gracious gift of God. And this is Henry and Miguel in our nursery back in 2001. And they were laughing their heads off. I have no idea at what. But they were. They were having the time of their life. Now Henry's always showed leadership capabilities and always wanted to be first in everything. So that little baby was left in a rubbish bin on the side of the road, was going to be left, and we were able to save him from that. Now, from about being 12 years old, he started to help on the medical missions, and God put a dream in his heart to be trained to be a doctor. And he's never changed since that day. That was him when he arrived. This is him now. He's 17 years old. You know, his name means ruler of the home, which he reminds me of very frequently. But what I can tell you today is he's now in the university and he's studying his very first semester of medical school. And God also gave Janine and I the privilege of adopting him as our son. This is Miguel, and Miguel is a little boy who came from one of those areas that Open Doors probably talked about for. In a place where the guerrilla ran things, and he would have probably been trained to plant landmines and manage a machine gun. But God got him out of that place. Miguel has been on our drama team for many years, going all around Colombia, telling people all about Jesus, taking his mission opportunities. That was him when he arrived, and this is him today. He's taller than me. He's about this tall. He's huge. And his name means who is like God. And I can tell you, he's now in third semester of studying architecture in one of the very best universities in Colombia. God has most certainly transformed his life because we said yes to a mission opportunity. Now, I'm just going to quickly show you this and then I'm going to finish with that. So for our 25th anniversary, it might not surprise you to know we're getting into another building project because our foundation is growing. And so this property is called the Blessings property and it's right next door to our Genesis house. It was used as our school until we opened our new school in 2009. And since then, it's been used as our parking area. And this is our distribution area for humanitarian aid that goes all over Colombia through doors that the presidency has opened with us, with the Navy and with the Air Force, to be able to get this help to the places it's most needed. But as you can see, the buildings are falling down. And so it's been in our heart, and we believe in God's heart, to do a new building to enable us to reach a bigger and wider population in Colombia. So this is our new multi-use facility. I love the song, Build It on the Rock. So this is the ground floor. And on that ground floor, we're going to have a big storage area for our humanitarian aid containers. We're going to have a dispatch area. We're going to have an area for the rice containers and for the evangelism literature containers. As you can see, that's right next door to the Genesis house. The building is 16,860 square feet. This is a very big building. And then on that next floor up, you know, we have to do our lunchtime in six shifts in two different houses. Well, we're going to build a big lunchroom that will allow us to have our breakfast, lunch, and evening meal together as a family all in one go. And then on the third floor, we're going to put a special therapy area for our technical team, our psychologists and our social workers, to work in that area, and also, very importantly, Mama Janine's bakery, where she bakes all of the birthday cakes for the children and teaches them how to bake, and also our sewing workshops. And finally, God is going to give us a place that's big enough for us all to meet that's inside, either when the sun's hot or when the rain comes down heavy. Now, this building's also been done in special memory of Janine's dad, who passed away in 2016, very sadly. A man who worked very hard to serve God and to show his love in very practical ways. So I'm going to finish the DVD there. We're really excited to see what God is going to do through that new building and the more lives that he's going to allow us to impact. But I just want to finish today by going back to just talking about the heart of mission. So I'm going to say to you today that you need to know God's heart through the wisdom of the Spirit and to know the thoughts of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. And then when we believe, which is a verb, which takes us to act, when we believe and we act, I'm going to tell you that things that may seem foolishness to man are going to make perfect sense, and God will use you in everyday mission opportunities right here to transform people's lives for him. So I'd like to finish in prayer if that would be okay. Father, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your blessing. I thank you for the opportunity today to share about your work and glorify your name, Father. And Lord, even though as Paul talked about there being persecution in the country of Colombia, I want to say, Lord, today that Colombia is a beautiful country filled with incredible people. And I claim that land for you. Amen. Father, I claim the country of Colombia for you. May Colombia, Father, be transformed through just normal people showing your love in very practical ways, Father. And following the heart of mission, which is your heart. And Father, I pray the same thing here for Whitley Bay. Father, because I believe with all of my heart, even though there might not be persecution in certain ways, Father, there are many ways that the enemy tries to use in our life here to destroy our relationship with you. And Father, I pray for restoration, and I pray for revival in this land, and I pray, Father, that people would come to know you in a very real way, that they would see real answers to real prayers, to real situations, Father. And Lord, that when we see our mission opportunity, you would make our heart jump and we would take it, Lord. And I'm going to say, Lord, that when we do that, we can see you do incredible things in transforming people's lives. So, Father, I ask that you would use your church here to go out into this community. Father, you would make their heart jump every time you give them a mission opportunity. And Father, may the lives of their neighbors and the person on the corner and the supermarket and the person in school or workplace, may their hearts be transformed because somebody took that mission opportunity, Lord. And may we see an incredible fruit that comes from that, Father. So Lord, I just want to just minister, Father, to your church here today. And I give you thanks for them. Empower them. Father, make them strong in their weakness. And Father, make the things that are foolishness to man seem absolutely perfect, Father, in your thoughts. Lord, I thank you for the team that's coming out from here in the summer. I pray, Father, you'll bless them and empower them and help them in everything that they're going to do. Because, Lord, they're going to need your energy because they're going to be working on that building. And I know what that means, Lord. They're going to be digging foundations and things like that. So I pray you'll give them lots of strength and muscles, Lord. And, Father, I thank you for their heart to go to that place to serve you. Father, I thank you for my trustees, two of whom come to this church. Bless them too and give them wisdom, Father. And I thank you, Father, for this place, this church, these people that are yours, dedicated to you in mission. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.